Okay, good morning. You're listening to the Republic of Texas Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve O'Brien. And it's April the 23rd, 2017. I wonder if I'm looking forward to 2018. Actually, I am. I almost tried to write it the other day. I also tried to write 2013. I don't know. Maybe that's a Freudian slip. 2013 versus 18 is just a little bit of a line that changes those two. Or maybe it's something that's relevant. Probably not. We've got a pretty open show today, but I did have some subjects that I wanted to talk a little bit about. And we'll just see where we go. I spent a little bit of time on the roads of Texas this week, and what I saw to me was quite fascinating, and we'll get into that story a little bit as we go along. But first, I want to bring on the troops and just see how everything's going this morning. Let's go to Alan first. Hey, Alan, are you there?
You got me hanging loose here.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hey, let's see about Doc. What's going on, Doc?
Hanging in there. Good morning, everybody, or whatever time of day it is, wherever you're at. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Welcome. Yeah, it's amazing that people actually, well, that you get up, Doc, that I get up, and Alan gets up in the morning. And, of course, Ken, you wake up in the morning. Ken's our board op for the day. Sam's not there at the moment. And really want to send out a little thanks and appreciation to Ken. And I hope Sam starts feeling better soon. You know, it always sucks. Maybe you should call Doc. I don't know. You know, I would, definitely. I'm not into those regular, what do they call those, medical doctors, Doc? You're kind of different, right? You're a naturopath.
Well, I'm just different. But, yeah, I'd like to think that I'm the right way and those guys are the bad alternative.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad alternatives out there. Okay, Ken just told me that Sam's doing just fine. Don't have to pray for him, or if you want to, go ahead. He's just got the day off. Isn't that nice? I like day off. But I always seem to waste my days off, doing stuff and things. And when you're done, you don't, well, I don't know. Getting a little sideways, so let's pull it back in. The Texas highways are a strange place, right? You know, you got a variety of different terrains, right? You got a one-lane road that you can do 75 miles an hour, and it's wonderful, and it's calm, and you have fields, and you feel at peace with the world, and then you got, you know, it's really nice and relaxing. And then you got the cities. Now, in my travels, I got to kind of get a little bit of a taste, and a taste, maybe that's not the true feel of the place. Now, there's a place close to my home. It's called Austin, right? It's about an hour away. You travel at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can get into Austin in an hour. Otherwise, you know, you're talking about 2 hours, maybe three, and could be even more, just depending upon what time of day you go to it. And I have driven there, you know, quite a little bit, and I can't say that I really like it. Lots of issues, but this week I got to go to Houston, right? Now, everybody's always been telling me about Houston since I've been in Texas, and that's been about 8 years now, and I finally actually got to go down there, and I've seen little pictures of Houston and heard all sorts of stories about Houston and this and that. Maybe even on the outskirts of Houston, going to Republic of Texas events, but never really got to, well, enjoy Houston, right, in all the whatever it is. But, you know, I found it was a lot like Texas. And Texas, I'm going to take that back and we'll clarify. It has a lot of toll roads, and the toll roads are very deceiving. And as you're trying to navigate around, and, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing, guys, and I'm going to change that. I guarantee you. I don't have a traditional paper map, a road atlas, as you know, as it is. And I really miss those. When I journeyed from California, I had a collection of road atlases. And if you would sit there and try to use a GPS, you'd find yourself going in loops around and around and around. You're going, where the heck are we? Stop. You know, get out your map, find out where you are, and then, you know, move along. week was kind of like impromptu, so I grab my rectangle and I say, hey, Google, right? You know, do me one good, right? And sure did. It kind of, yeah, here you go. And it pointed me to every single toll road. Now, yeah, I get it. You know, the toll roads are allegedly faster and such. But my version of this little map software that they got wouldn't allow me to say, don't charge me of the, you know what. And so I kept running into these signs that says, oh, freeway ending, you know, last exit, toll road ahead. I'm going, man, I don't want to pay any money. I don't want a toll road. I don't want to, you know, whatever. And so I'd panic and I'd get off and then I'd go look at my Google Maps, swear at it a little bit, and then find my own way. And I made it out of Austin, right? You know, I'm like going, oh, that's great. And then, well, later on, I found myself in Houston. And Houston was even tougher to navigate. You know, Doc can understand that a lot. You know, he lives down in Houston. Well, I can't say he lives in Houston because he lives in Katy, right? And Katy's different from Houston because of whatever. But anyways, you got all these crazy things. Now, for you guys that don't have context on what a Houston is, right? It's this little place in Texas. It's down to the south. They've got, and most of you know what Houston is, right? The Houston Oilers, you at least know they had a football team at one time. Maybe they still do. I don't know. But, you know, the Houston Oilers, you know, played there, and then they have a Houston Bowl and Salad Bowl and fishing, and well, they had an oil spill too, so let's not forget about that. Anyways, for me, I like to get the context of what a Houston is by taking a place that I have a recollection of and kind of like overlaying that on Houston. There was a place in Silicon Valley where I grew up. It was called San Jose, California, and you'd have to take San Jose, California and make that a rubber stamp and just stamp it everywhere. It's just big. And it's a little bit overwhelming as I was trying to say, or how to say it, to tell me where to go. And of course, they want to send me to the Spanish toll roads. I kind of got frustrated and I said, enough. And I didn't go in and buy a map. No, that probably would have been the right thing to do and take a few minutes to actually get my head around, you know, where these streets actually are. Instead, I downloaded another application. Yay! Isn't it neat having a rectangle that can suck data off the internet, install a new program, and then I can ask it a question. The one I kind of downloaded was called Waze, and Waze is an interesting little program. Somebody had turned me on to that a little bit before. Seems like the police department don't like Waze. They are kind of like, they actually tried to, police officers union or something, tried to sue Waze and put them out of business because one of the keys to Waze is that you can flag cops. And so as you're driving down the street, you see a cop pulling people over or prowling or doing whatever, hiding. You just kind of like hit a little button and then the guy behind you kind of goes, you get a little bit of a notice that something's coming up. And several years ago, I actually was riding in a car with a person and holy cow, all of a sudden this little rectangle would come up and say, beep, 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 and police officer ahead. And whoa, there is one. Wow, that was kind of cool. Well, Waze did it for me. It did pretty well. Kind of happy with it to a certain extent. It still tried to shove me on tollways, but it let me reroute from there. And I got through it. You know, I really did get through it. But I noticed something funny. I noticed that I could actually navigate in Houston traffic. And, you know, we're talking traffic, folks. We're talking, you know, stalled, you know, cars not moving, this and that. And I could move from one lane to the other and, you know, I'd let people in front of me, right? They need to merge, whatever, and I didn't think much of it. Fredericksburg, Texas, where I live, it's kind of, well, we're a little bit civil, and let's put the caveat there. The people from Fredericksburg, Texas are a little bit civil, right? And we open doors for people. We say hi, thank you, how are you? We'll have conversations. But when we're driving, you know, somebody needs the speed and go by you, we'll let them go, man. Let them go. We have a little stretch that goes between here and our nearest neighbor, Kerrville, and there's a little road that you can pull off. Not really a road. It's the side of the road, and we pull over. If somebody wants to do 80 whatever to get to Kerrville, let them go, right? Just let them go. It's okay. They're in a hurry. Why are they in a hurry? We don't need to block them. We don't even need to ask that question. Well, I found that Houston was kind of, it didn't live up to my expectation of driving in big cities that I'd had in the past. You know, being from Silicon Valley and, very fluent in driving in San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, and whatnot, I'm used to aggressive driving. And when I first started my journey, I was kind of like going, wow, this driving technique is foreign to me. But I remember how to do it, right? Okay, you don't get much room to get in there. You just get in there trying to balance civility and, just doing it was a little bit tough, a little bit tough indeed. But I didn't really have too much problems in Houston. You know, people would generally let me in when I needed to get in and do whatnot. But Austin, man, that little place, it seemed like everybody was on autopilot, and they didn't care about anybody else. And I had cars zigzagging in and purposely blocking me. It felt like, wow, Silicon Valley of old, screw you, get the hell not coming in here. Car, you know, you're like, I have to get off on this exit. And they'll back their bumpers up to each other. I'm going, oh, man, where the hell's the love? You know, there is no love. You know, there's just self-centeredness. And it was kind of just strange. I didn't expect that at all. And I asked around all week, you know, sitting there asking people, why was that? I heard Houston was meaner than Austin. Why is Austin so dang mean? And I had my own impression. And one of my clients said something that was very profound. It's because Houston drivers, she said, it was Houston drivers have been trained that if you act like that, you could get a bullet in your head. And I go, oh, wow, there you go. That whole thing about an armed society is a polite society. I'll stop it right there, folks, and say, Doc, is that the way of Houston? Am I wrong? Is she wrong?
Well, it's pretty crowded. All those cities that you mentioned before living in, you could put all them in Houston and have to look for them. And it gets pretty aggressive because people are fighting that traffic day in and day out. And the toll roads that you paid for with your tax dollars, you have to pay for again. And some of the toll roads, unless you have an easy tag, you can't even get on without getting a ticket. So it keeps people stressed out and tense, and then life in general. So, yeah, and you probably caught it at a good time because I think you missed most of rush hour traffic. Rush hour traffic, you would have thought you were at a giant Houston parking lot.
I don't know about missing it. It was pretty good. Maybe you guys were holding the best for, you know, another time. You know, Ken wants to tell me that it's the same in Dallas-Fort Worth. Kind of remember going to Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, I did some work up there, you know, back in the early 2000s, but most of the time it was just driving from the hotel room to the data center and staying there and going back to the hotel room. It really didn't do much, you know. I don't know. Alan, you know cities, but you've actually been a rural person most of your life. Is that right?
Well, kind of on the outskirts of it, you know, and, when the Fredericksburg traffic starts to bother me, you know that I wouldn't do good in a big city.
I know, Fredericksburg traffic. Do you believe that there is such a thing? You know, I do. I've seen it. All of a sudden, the one road going into Fredericksburg backs up, and wow, it takes you 5 minutes to move a mile, and then you're free. There you go. It was all because of a diesel did something or other. I don't know. It's a crazy world. And I guess I can understand a few of these fair weather Harley riders that come up here to the Hill Country because, wow, that Houston traffic, the Austin traffic, I don't know. It's different. I could move around in the Austin traffic, but I would be, you know, taking my life in my hands. I mean, I have ridden a bike in San Francisco and Oakland and so forth, so I'm used to, you know, weaving in between cars, but there's a lot of risk when you're riding a motorcycle. So I guess I'm going to have to remember that when I see those fleet of Harleys getting packed into a diesel trailer and coming up here to ride around the Hill Country. You know, hey, Doc, I heard that Harley-Davidson's shutting down a factory and they're going in decline again. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't, and I sure hope it's not true because I love Harley. Not every bike they make I like, but I'm a full-dress guy. I like the Electroglide Classic, and they're one of the last great traditions left in this country. Victory was making motorcycles, and they're a part of Polaris, and I heard they're going to quit making them, so Harley's our last hope. I hope that's not true.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going out of business. It's probably more of a restructuring thing. And I think that your views on Harley-Davidson are shared with a lot of lawyers, attorneys, accountants out there, right? So, but you're a doctor, right? So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. But you're a natural doctor. It's a total different thing. But they're stating that, you know, their sales are down and this and that. Maybe they've moved their customer base into a place where it's not affordable anymore to buy a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Those things run like, you know, if you buy a used one, what do you get them for? 20, 30 grand? A new one, 40, 70,000? What are the price ranges they do?
Well, no, I think you could get a full-dress Electroglide Ultra Classic probably around 25, 26, brand new. And used, it depends. On the personal market, they're usually pretty reasonable. If you buy one from a dealer used, it's going to be a higher price. But they do hold their value better than a lot of motorcycles.
Yeah, hey, Doc, are you one of those guys who gets on his Harley and rides around, you know, puts your leathers on, you know, you're, you know, doctor of death across your back with a skull, and, you know, accountants do it, you know, or, you ride around, you got that stuff on you?
You got a biker jacket.
Yeah, and I keep my AR between my teeth as I go down the street. Well, I've been riding motorcycles since I was a kid, and I've had a lot of them. But my favorite bikes have always been Indian, Harley, and Victory. And I have a leather jacket because that saves your butt out on the road. But, no, I don't have colors like Sons of Anarchy or any of that kind of stuff.
I got a rare view into a Fredericksburg Turon's trailer the other day, and he was just pulling into a hotel, and he dropped the back hatch. You know, he had his trailer painted the same way of his truck, and I said, oh, I wonder what's inside. And as the back of the trailer kind of lowered down to the ground, I saw that his motorcycle was painted like his trailer was painted like his truck, and in front of his trailer was a whole assortment of different leathers to wear. And I'm kind of like going, really? Is that your wardrobe, dude? You know, how many suits do you need? How many, you know, okay. Republic of Texas Radio, that's the first break. Short segment coming up. We'll move on from Harley-Davidson, or maybe not. Let's see. Hang on, folks.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magfill clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All through the night, going at it now, a tooth and nail, and it's time for me to set my sails.
All right, we're back. Yeah, Republic of Texas radios, we're talking, well, I guess we're talking roads right now, and we're talking motorcycles and Texas. You know, probably a little bit the difference between big cities and little communities. I live in a little community called Fredericksburg, Texas, but if you've listened to the show before, you've heard about that, and I had a rude awakening as to what I came from, you know, the cities of California, and how blessed I am to be here, and I'm always talking smack about Fredericksburg, but I think it's important to talk smack about stuff, right? You got to tell people what's wrong and what's right, and I have given kudos to... I'm not even going to say that, but I have been nice to the city council here and whatnot, not questioned everything. I find that's one of the monikers of alternate media, right? We can actually take both sides of the story. Are we looking at it with rose-colored glasses? Take your Trump, right? You know, all of a sudden, Senor Trump gets into the White House and, you know, we're supposed to all be gushing for him. Now, I voted for Donald Trump back when, you know, 2016, you know, it was basically, well, shoot, you say the right things and anybody but Hillary. And I'm still extremely, extremely glad we didn't get Hillary Clinton in there. That doesn't mean that the whole thing isn't over. Right, the Clintons are like a good stain. Right, they go deep. They penetrate, you know, whatever material they get in, and they seep into it, and they stay. And you got, I don't know, do you have to burn them out? Oh, you maybe. Well, I'm not saying to burn them out. Maybe you just have to ditch the clothing. Maybe that's why Texas needs to be free. You know, just put off that thing. But you know, maybe it'll go away in time, UV and all that. Don't put sunscreen on your clothes. What do you think, Alan? There he goes. He's off. He doesn't even want to play with us today, Doc.
Well, I'm back here. Hey, I got to touch on this real quick. You guys, you and Kim were going back and forth about motorcycles and talking about Gold Wings.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of good motorcycles made today. The difference is you have to find what suits your taste. And for me, the reason I don't like a lot of the bikes that are out there is they have a fixed fairing. So when you turn the handlebars to lean into a curve, it doesn't go with you. And the reason I like the Electroglide Classic from Harley is
type to me in the little chat box thingy if you can hear me there, Ken, because I might have just lost you.
Oh, I can hear. I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay, good. Well, since we're talking motorcycles, I've had quite a few, and most of them are Rice Rockets, right? I really like a Rice Rocket. I'm not a big fairing guy. You know, one of my first motorcycles was a Ninja 600, and it was full fairing. You know, by the end of that motorcycle, I had pulled most of the fairings off, and it was pretty raw. You know, it was nice. But I'd get me a Ducati 750 double. I kind of like the minimalist thing, and I don't need a fairing. But technically, you know, one of my favorite motorcycles is Alan Crutcher's 175. He has a really nice enduro thingy. I don't know if you're back there, Alan. Are you there? Man. Yeah. He's out doing something. Maybe he's tired of listening to me. Or maybe he doesn't want to talk motorcycles. Who knows? We'll see. Chime in when you get back there, Alan, and we'll just keep moving on. I was talking a little bit about, the Clintons and how, well, they're like a bad stain on society and whatnot, and we got the Trumps, you know, they're in the game, and everybody's kind of a little bit bummed that they're not repealing nothing. Obamacare is going to sit around, you know, that's going to be there. What did he do? You know, all of a sudden we're dropping bombs. Oh, well, what's the truth on that? Didn't even get to it. Hang on, folks. We're going to hit the brakes. Not the brakes. We're going to hit the gas or pull the throttle. This is the Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock. Called racist.
All through the night, going at it now. It's tooth and nail, and it's time for me to set my.
Okay, we're back. Well, we're in the bottom of the first hour, and batters are loaded, or bases are loaded, or something's loaded if you're in Houston. But, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we are having a little bit of technical difficulties, CFR, and we're kind of, like, dropping every once in a while, and we've got an amplifier that's going to be replaced, but Ken's in there with a wrench, and he beats on the dang thing every once in a while, but I'm told that, you know, spare parts are here. And, well, hey, RBN will be at full strength sooner or later, you know. But hang in there, guys. I wanted to point you over to the chat room, which I just remembered was going. So let's go there. Republicoftexas.chattango.com. I want to say hi to all you guys out there. And Captain Fred was saying that there's some kind of fixed fairing rules, Doc. That's why the fairings are, you know, stable nowadays. And wow, they made you safe, Doc. Isn't that great?
Well, no, the Ultra Classic has got a fairing that is with the handlebars. The other bikes, it's fixed to the frame. So it's just a matter of personal taste. But the Harley that I like has been the same forever and ever with that bat wing fairing that goes with the handlebars and leans with you. It just feels better. But many of the motorcycles have a fixed wing, and Harley makes one too called a Tour Glide, but I don't like that either. You know, like I said, I'm very particular. There's different bikes from different makers that I like, but and I like Victory and Indian, but Indian kind of faded away, and now Victory's fading away. So
I think
all the badass bikers are going to, like, what, drop down to Vespas and Scarabeos, go from 1300 cc's down to 50 or what? I mean, to be recognized as different now?
I don't know.
You should be riding a bike because you like to ride. You shouldn't be riding so you can dress up like Sons of Anarchy on the weekend. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's like Steve said about mine. You know, mine, I prefer the more off-road type bikes, and it's a 1982 XT550, Steve. It's not a 175. It's got a little more pep than that.
Oh, I know it had pep.
Yeah, those are great. I grew up on dirt bikes and all that kind of stuff as a kid, so I love all that enduro stuff.
Yeah, if you wreck, it's your own fault. Trees don't pull out in front of you.
That's usually the way it is. But I don't know. I've had things come out of nowhere. I've had old ladies hit me on a motorcycle before, and I've had a drunk driver hit me in a car, and I was going 80, and they were going like 120 or something. That was some crazy crash, man, I got to tell you. Anyways, let's go to the phones real quick. We got Frank in North Carolina. What's going on? What are you thinking there, Frank?
Yeah, man, I like to dress to impress wherever I go, wherever I am, whether I'm riding a borrowed or stolen motorcycle, or if I'm hitchhiking or whatever. I like to sport my leather pants and jacket. it's funny. I've been listening to you guys talk about motorcycles, and you've done it for me because every time I ever get close to thinking about buying a motorcycle, I always talk myself out of it because of what you were just saying. Eventually, you're going to get an accident. You're going to get hit. Certainly where I am here in Charlotte, the drivers are freaking nuts. They're all either sleep-deprived or on prescription drugs or they're texting or whatever. And I'm not going to do it. But I came up in the 70s, but I gravitated towards, like, the Triumphs. I always saw the bikes like that, kind of minimalist bikes, you know, because I was like a dirt bike guy. I had a Suzuki RM125 motocross bike, and, you know, we were always, you know, racing around on those things, and I had some pretty good wrecks on those things and some concussions even, but, I always gravitated towards the smaller minimalist bikes, and I came real close to getting one of those Kawasaki, I forget what you call them, what were they, like W650s or something? They were like that retro bike that they came out with back around 2000.
Yeah, that was a nice one. Was it the two-stroke, or was it a four-stroker?
I'm not sure. It was a 650, and it had that kind of Triumph or BSA look about it from the, you know, from the 60s. I saw one sitting out in front of a cafe the other day, and it's in heavy traffic. I almost turned around and went back. But, I mean, that thing was just so cool looking, man. It was simple. It's not all that impressive. It's just cool looking to me. But
I loved motorcycles for the economy of, you know, you put gas in them, and you have a gallon and a half, and it gets you a long way. You know, but carrying stuff was kind of hard. At one point in my life, I was borrowing Alan's motorcycle, you know, and doing the whole off-grid thing. And it was really hard to stick a 50-pound sack. Not saying I didn't do it. I did it on several occasions, a feed on a backpack and ride a motorcycle. It's kind of interesting. And I strapped chickens and I put bunny rabbits on the back of a motorcycle. they really didn't like it. I was definitely an oddity here in Fredericksburg.
That's a fact. That is true.
Hey, you make two, right?
I think the bigger bikes are for people that maybe are more experienced, you know, road riders and that do a lot of cross country or a lot of road trips and stuff like that. Maybe that's where you get tired of the smaller bikes when you're doing that kind of thing. But just for like around town and taking a ride out of the country, man, I like the minimalist type bikes. And I used to borrow from time to time a Honda Interceptor 500 when I was a skinny little teenager. I had a friend that had one, and I think the fastest I ever got it up to was like 100 miles an hour. And that was with cow pastures on either side of me. And those bikes are just nothing but trouble. And I think have talked me out of getting a bike once again. If I ever get into a position to do that, it's just too risky, man. Too many crazy people around.
That's true. The world has gone crazy. The roads are not real bike friendly anymore. That's for sure.
Hey, Captain Fred's in the chat room, and he says he prefers four wheels. And I get it. I totally get that. Hey, I got a medium line for you. We've got a lot of these guys that come up to Fredericksburg, and they have three-wheeled motorcycles. And yes, Dave, they're Harley-Davidson. At least they say Harley-Davidson. But for some reason, I don't even think those are bikers. They have the jacket and all, but it's just weird. When I got back from Houston, it was sitting there. I was being tailgated by one of these buttheads. And I'm going, really? You know, really? And it's, I don't know. That guy was feeling too safe, I think.
Bikers.
Bikers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like when I stopped riding a motorcycle, I graduated to, I got a Jeep, which was close. You take the top off and the doors off, and you kind of got the same freedom, but you got four wheels under you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you got anything else there, Frank? Appreciate your call. Still there? Well, maybe we went through that little amplifier lull, and I'll just talk.
Hey, I got something, Steve. We've been talking about this visioning that we're having here, you know, in the for the county and everything.
Uh-huh.
And you still there?
I'm there. I heard you.
And I was watching something here, and it's the Saudi Vision 2030, and all the wonderful little words that you sit here and you watch what they're planning, and they use these Agenda 21 words, which absolutely mean nothing. You know, it's visioning. What the hell does that mean? You know, and it's like looking for better, you know, places for our people, and they say all these nice fluffy word things, but they really don't mean anything. You know, if you think about it, the context of the words, that they're saying nothing. So it's just fluffy words to impress people.
Yeah, I did learn a little bit about words, and I learned how they all came together on my trip down south. As you're approaching these toll roads, they say last exit. Free exit. And I go, what's going on? I'm on this road, and we have this road called 290, and it, you know, kind of runs from South Texas up north, and maybe it heads off a little bit west, I found out, you know, thanks, Doc. But I'm on this thing called 290, and it says last exit. And I go, man, here I go again. I'm going to have to detour, and I'm going without my rectangle at the time, right? I'm just sitting there going, 290 is in front of my house. Stay on 290. I will get home. But no, all of a sudden, they say, you got to give me money. And so I said, I'm not giving you money. And so I take the last exit, only to find out it wasn't an exit. It was actually 290. And it was a trick, a play on words. And I'm sitting there going, oh, so now 290 turns into a frontage road. Why would anybody take this pay thing? And then I look in my rear view mirror, and a whole bunch of cars, you know, this Camaro and a bunch of other cars are going on the toll road. And I'm going, well, what's the difference, right? They're to the left of me. They're isolated from me. I hit a stoplight. I go, man, I hit a stoplight. Okay, it lets up, and I just keep going. Well, traffic was moving really good, and in several miles, I merge in right next to that Camaro again. And I'm going, and he just paid what? $1.75, $4, whatever it costs. And, you know, but they tricked me, Alan. They really did trick me, and it's the wordplay again. They called it an exit, and it wasn't an exit. It's like, you know, what they did was they removed the words toll road entrance and said that you have to exit, and when you exit, you actually go onto the road, at least in that case. I don't know if I'm right or not. Maybe Doc knows a little bit more about the shenanigans and wordplay of those streets, or maybe you just don't pay attention. You've been there so long. Doc?
Well, no, and that's what I was telling you when you tried to go to the lake and we got you back on the right road. When you get up there, they act like if you stay on that, you know, it's a tollway and you're going to get there so much quicker. But unless the traffic on the feeder is as unbelievable, it's not worth the money. And as you found out, you ended up catching right up with them anyway. But that's why sometimes when I've gone up that way, I've gone around through Bastrop and skipped some of that, because these toll roads are ridiculous. We paid with our tax dollars to build them, and then they charge you to drive on them. There's something wrong with that philosophy.
It is, but I'm pretty sure that the people with money don't really care too much about that. You know, when I was driving from one part of Silicon Valley to another part of Silicon Valley, you had to pick up hitchhikers or other people or carpool to get in the fast lane to avoid all that stuff. And I was more than willing to pay to get in that road if I could, but you can't, right? At least you couldn't then. I'm sure that they figured out a way to charge people to get in that lane or something like that. I don't know.
And those are good American roads you're driving on, right? Oh, no, wait a minute. Most of those have been sold to foreign companies like Sintra out of Spain. So when you're on those toll roads, you're not even helping the American economy. You're paying someone else that lives out of the country to drive on that nice, free, open road.
Yeah, I know. And if only that was the end of it, Alan, a lot of those companies that got the subsidies to, rent the roads weren't making the profits they were supposed to be making, so they're getting kickbacks, right, to make up for their losses. At least that's
always
what I heard.
It's government. There's always kickbacks. It's government stuff. There's always kickbacks. Always. That's why. Like I said, I know people who've done government contracting, and they say at least double your price, generally triple it, add 10%, and if they complain about something, you squabble on the 10%. The whole world's gone crazy.
You know, the last week or two, I've been kind of like looking into, what happened to the snowflakes? And I'm going to kind of like bump us another direction really quick. And it is relevant to the day around us, the world we live in, the Trump era, the era of, Marie Le Pen, all the shenanigans that are happening over there in France. It's really crazy. Well, there's a group out there, and I've been watching them a little bit as we go along. You know, here in the United States of America, or in corporate U.S., we've seen them. They disrupted that gay guy, Milo. He wanted to speak over in Berkeley, and I don't know who this guy is, and I really haven't read anything about it, but I know his name is Milo, and he talks on, I don't know, he writes stuff? I don't know. Don't get me. All I know is he tried to speak over at Berkeley, the home of peace, love, and, give me your money. Well, they started rioting, and we had the first little push here in the United States to armor the snowflakes? Or, well, you can't armor snowflakes. Maybe you can encase them in something. Well, these snowflakes appeared dressed in black, and we're watching this, right, as the riots in Berkeley started in the early part of 2017, and they're burning this, and they're burning that, and they're beating up this person, they're beating up that person, and it keeps going on. We had one of those things just about a week ago, and I forget who was speaking. Do you remember, Alan, or Berkeley, just the recent one?
That was the blonde chick. At least
Ann Coulter. Like
kind of. Ann Coulter, yeah.
No, isn't that upcoming? Ann Coulter's coming up, and somebody else was speaking.
They canceled her appearance because they were afraid of rioting, supposedly. At least that's what I've seen here.
Hmm. Well, they've canceled it. It's back on. It's back off again. Whatever. It's whatever it is. But the point that I'm trying to... No, it's not really a point. It's just trying to bring a little bit of attention to armored snowflakes. And, there's a group called Antifa. I like to call them anti-fat, but it's anti-fascist. It's allegedly what they are. And so they go ahead and they show up at these events. Now, I wanted to get a little bit more clarity on how big this group is, what this group is, and what's going on. And so I started doing my research, and I went over to a image search engine, and I typed in A-N-T-I-F-A. And what I found out is those snowflakes well, they're really serious about doing graphics for Antifa and or Antifat, however you want to call them. Now, they claim to be for, you know, everybody getting along and against fascism. And no, I don't like fascism, right? I see a lot of traits of fascism in the corporate United States of America, you know, giving businesses the heads up or the hands up or a lift up. And I get that, well, saying I'm against fascism. What I don't get is, well, the rest of them. Hang on, we're going to hit the break. Republic of Texas Radio.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
You know, the word, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, let's start with Republic of Texas Radio. We're on the end of the first hour, and I guess the word is, well, it's two words, called dress up. Dress up is a word that we used to use when we were kids, when we played dress up, and you dress like an astronaut, or you dress like this, or you did whatever, and now the word is cosplay. And that word is supposed to be costume play. So they play dress up. And then, well, you know, the snowflakes, they play dress up all their life. And that way they can sit there and, you know, go, well, it's cosplay. No, you're dressed like a fruit bat or something stupid like that. Well, we started talking about Antifa, right? Or Antifat, whatever. A little group, well, actually, it's been a group from what I hear in Europe for a long time. They're communists, and they are, well, they're up to no good. And they made their appearance here in the United States earlier on, you know, in 2017, over at a Milo Berkeley thing, and they started burning stuff and so forth. And it caught on to the, well, you know, the snowflake genre, and they go, well, we can play cosplay. That's great, or dress up, as we call it. And they dress in this black garb, and they put a mask over their face, and then they walk around, you know, being mean and nasty to people, people that just want to be free. And that's what I kind of see, you know, what is going on today. Now, the snowflakes are mad. It's easy to be violent and try to get away from stuff when you're pretending you're somebody else, but they can't even be themselves. So they dress up in black and whatnot. I really think we're not getting enough attention to these snowflakes, and I don't think it's going to be a long, drawn-out love affair of the snowflakes to be in this thing called Antifa or Antifat. You know, it's something that they're using to actually get their angst out that Hillary Clinton didn't get in. Well, maybe they're mad because, Bernie Sanders didn't get in. And I get that, too. They grew up in socialism, close to communism, whatever. They don't know what they want, but they know they're mad. And so dressing up and going out and beating up on people that are talking about freedom and liberty and limited government, that's the way they deal with it, because they need handouts, so they need something. I don't know what they need. But it's getting old, and we are going back into a time. The Ann Coulter thing, we were talking about that a little bit, and how Berkeley has, stopped the engagement of Ann Coulter. And like, right, really? That's a voice of freedom and liberty? Give me a break. They'll protest anything. That's a voice of controlled media. That's a voice of, of the dualistic, you know, us versus them thingy. You know, but they're still willing to attack it. They'll attack anything. And it could go really badly for them in the next coming weeks. Well, for sure it will at some point. Because as we said, Houston, they have some civility, but maybe that's only because they actually know there are guns. One author that I was reading about, he was sitting there going, hey, you guys over at Antifat, you know, you guys got to get a clue, man. You guys are not equipped for the fight that you're picking up, because I know you're working at Starbucks, you're working here, and you're mad as hell, and you're wanting to go out there and beat people up. Well, the people that you're beating up are veterans. They're adults. They've been in the real world for a long time. And as you escalate, they escalate. And then we all start going down and down and down. It's kind of like this violence stir. And it's being brought on by people that claim to be against violence. It's that duality that really gets me about it. I mean, and again, we just got done with, Science March or something like that for the global warming. It's like we're anti-fat. But we're for fascism. We're going to boss you around. Man, do these guys even know how to chain logic? No, they don't. They know what they want. I'm rambling a little bit, but we're about to go into break again. At least my clocks say that. And maybe I'm not getting the feed from the network. You there, Alan?
Yeah, and I don't even know why we're still talking politics, right? I mean, our man Trump's in there, and he wouldn't be doing anything, you know, like continuing the policy, like dropping a 21,600-pound bomb with a one-mile kill radius around on anything, would he? I mean, we're safe, right?
I know. Well, he took out a couple bunny rabbits with that there, Alan. Hang on. We'll do the break.
Gather around, everyone, and let me tell you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.